Hi folks, happy new year from FPL General, recording a new 59th minute podcast from a very windy Scotland today, so hopefully the microphone doesn't pick up too much of the crazy weather outside. Looking ahead to game week 22 in this episode, so good to get back into a normal routine now, you know, game weeks once a week rather than the big pileup of games. You know, as much as it's great to have, you know, football on the telly every couple of nights, I never really enjoy the FPL side of it because I never tend to come out of it very well the Christmas period. I did okay this year, you know, I just kind of treaded water. Two red arrows the last two game weeks, which wasn't great, but just looking forward now to having, you know, game weeks every weekend as opposed to every couple of days and you know, a bit more time to assess things and look at stats and everything else. So same format as usual. Finally, we have some new members of the 59th Minute Club, so welcome to the club. Kiko Femenia from Watford, 59 minutes at the weekend, and Max Meyer from Crystal Palace as well. So two new members. I think that brings it to, I think there's 14 players now this season that have got the dreaded shout-out on the podcast. Still, no player has managed to get two shout-outs, so I'll be keeping a close eye over the next couple of weeks to see who the first player is going to be and if anyone can manage a hat-trick before the end of the season. Pretty sure no player managed a hat-trick last season, but let's see if someone can do it this year. A quick review of Game Week 21. How did it go for me? Not great. As I said, it was a red arrow. Managed 51 points. I think I got 50 points in the game week before that. So I had managed to get up to 91k. But back-to-back red arrows now sees me down to 163k. So I dropped about 25,000 places in game week 21, which is not awful. Yeah, it could have been a lot worse for sure. Captain Vardy, which was frustrating, like many of us. My vice-captain was De Bruyne, so I haven't had much luck with vice-captaincies this year. De Bruyne getting just 2 points. That was the main reason I got a red arrow. I know a lot of people had the likes of Salah as their vice-captain. I wish I did in hindsight, but that's just the way things go. The only players who really brought home points for me, Salah got me 10 points. Grealish was excellent, 13 points when, you know, a lot of people were starting to think about selling him. Could have had even more points if that goal wasn't ruled out. Soyuncu finally is in my team for the last couple of weeks, having not had any Leicester defenders for the first half of the season. So it was nice to get 8 points from him. And Alexander-Arnold returned another 6 points. So Trent has just been an absolute boss for the last, you know, couple of weeks. And I'm sure when I come to questions later in the podcast, there's going to be one or two about Liverpool. Everyone is talking about double game week 24, but I put out a tweet yesterday and I said, you know, it's important not to forget game week 22 and 23 are coming up before 24. Just not to get too, you know, blinded by the double game week. Don't ignore these two game weeks, 22 and 23. Plenty of points to be picked up before, you know, we triple up on Liverpool players. So that's what I said, you know, when you're making your transfers this week, don't think solely about game week 24. Look at the fixtures for game week 22, 23, and after game week 24 as well. You know, don't be short-sighted just because everyone's talking about Liverpool triple ups this week. Blanks for me in game week 21 from the usual suspects, Martin Kelly. Rico came off my bench, of course, for a nice minus one, so cheers for that, Diego. A blank from Matt Ryan, at least he picked up a save point there. I think there's a question about goalkeepers later as well. There's a lot of talk about Fabianski, so I'll touch on that later in the episode. Dele Alli, another blank. I think that might be four blanks in five now. It's something similar to that anyway, and he's on my chopping block this week, so I'll talk about Alli again when it comes to my transfers. A blank from the two guys up front, so blanks from all strikers really. Rashford blank, Jimenez blank, and Vardy didn't turn up. So disappointing game week 21 for the strikers, but game week 22, I'm pretty sure I'm going to roll with the same three guys. Jimenez home to Newcastle, Rashford's got Norwich at home, and Vardy has got Southampton at home. So really good fixtures for those three. Between the three of them, they got me 4 points in game week 21, so I'm hoping for something more like 44 points from those three guys in game week 22. So going to keep the faith with all three of those. A quick watch list update. Just going to touch on players I've added to the watch list this week rather than removed, because the players I removed were pretty boring and pretty straightforward. The likes of Harry Kane, you know, Cabaselli, mostly injuries and suspensions for those players. I did remove Sidibe and Lucas Digne as well from my watch list. The main reason there being I prefer Mason Holgate, who is on my watch list. I just prefer him because he's cheaper. And I like what I've seen from Holgate last couple of weeks as well. He always looks a threat from set pieces. He should have scored in that cup game against Liverpool at the weekend. He had a header, straight at Adrian. So if I'm going to look at an Everton defender anytime soon, I think it'll be Holgate rather than Sidibe or Lucas Digne, just quite simply for the value. So which players did I add to the watch list this week? Lucas Fabianski. It's probably the first time I've had a goalkeeper on the watch list this season, and usually I don't bother with goalkeepers on the watch list because it's a position I don't tend to change very often. The only time I've changed it this year is when I wildcarded and I brought in Matt Ryan just 2 weeks ago. But all the talk is of Fabianski this week because he has that double game week 24. So, and he's had 8 points and 6 points in his last two games since he's come back from injury as well. So what are my thoughts on Fabianski? I don't like him as much as other people do. Number one, I don't like using a transfer on the goalkeeper position. So I think most likely I'm going to stick with Ryan and Button, that double up, until I, wildcard again, whenever that may be. Again, probably going to talk about that later in the podcast. But Fabianski, it is a double game week, but the fixtures are not good at all. It's Leicester and Liverpool. So I don't see any clean sheets in the double game week for Fabianski. So you're relying on save points and maybe a penalty save. So, to me, at best, you're probably looking at 5 or 6 points. And, who does Ryan have in that game week? I'm just checking it here. Overall, when you take the double game week out of it and I just compare Fabianski and Matt Ryan over, say, the next 8 game weeks, I just much prefer Brighton's fixtures as opposed to West Ham. So that's the main reason I'm probably not going to bother with a transfer to get Fabianski in. I'm just going to stick with Ryan and, use my transfer elsewhere in my team. Just looking at West Ham fixtures, they do have that double. It's Leicester and Liverpool, which is nasty. And then looking a little bit further ahead, game week 26 and 27, West Ham have Manchester City and then they have Liverpool again. So I just don't see too many, clean sheets there for West Ham. I think it might be a bit of a trap, possibly, that they beat Bournemouth 4-0 under David Moyes. They met Bournemouth at the right time. Bournemouth have been absolutely dreadful for the last couple of weeks, so not just weeks, months. So I don't think I'm going to bother with Fabianski. I'm not convinced Moyes is going to turn it around and we're going to see a major manager bounce there. So I'm pretty happy just to stick with Ryan and, as I said, use my transfers elsewhere. Next 8 game weeks, Brighton have pretty good fixtures. They don't face any of the top six. So happy to stick with him and use my transfers as well. But anyone who does go for Fabianski for the double game week, good luck. I certainly hope he doesn't save a Mo Salah penalty. That would be absolute carnage. I've heard a few people mention that on other podcasts this week as well, and it would just be typical FPL if that was to happen. Another player on my watch list, a player who I got rid of on my wildcard, Todd Cantwell. On the score sheet again in game week 21, that is his 6th goal of the season. And Cantwell is just a fantastic footballer. I've been really, really impressed by him this season. If Norwich do go down, I would fully expect him to get a move to one of the Premier League sides. I think he's that good. He's a very classy player. He always passes the eye test when I see him. Now, Norwich's fixtures are a bit of a mixed bag. Just having looked at some of the stats this morning as well on Fantasy Football Hub. From game week 21, Cantwell had 4 shots, all of them inside the box. So shots in the box, I always like to look at that metric. So Cantwell had 4 of them at the weekend. I still think he's the best 5th midfielder option if you're playing, like I am, a 3-4-3 formation at the minute. 4.9 million, I don't think you can go wrong there as a first sub, as we've seen so often this season, coming off the bench with 10-pointers. So Cantwell is back on my watch list. Now, the end of the world may be near because I've added 2 Arsenal defenders to my watch list. Not just Arsenal players, Arsenal defenders. Now, it's probably been about 4 years since I've had an Arsenal defender on my FPL watch list. But been very impressed. First couple of games under Arteta, I think they've shown some really good signs of improvement in terms of, performance, work rate, just everything across the board. So again, it's probably a little bit early to go in there, especially with the defence. But, Kolasinac did, he did pass the eye test with flying colours in that Manchester United win. You know, when Arsenal were attacking, he was basically a left winger. So the issue with Kolasinac, I need to have a look, but if I pull out my list of injury prone players that I drew up in August, I think I'm probably going to find his name, you know, underneath Danny Ings on that one. So that's probably enough for me to put me off him. You know, Tierney is out for a couple of months, but Kolasinac always seems to have niggles as well, and I'm pretty sure in that United game he came off early as well. You know, he might have been playing through the pain in that one. So that is a bit of a worry with Kolasinac. If he was 100% fit, we know from you know the last couple of seasons he's a really attacking fullback, 5.2 million, just a bit of a differential there for anyone who wants to take a punt. I've added another Arsenal defender as well, 4.6 million, Ainsley Maitland-Niles. He's played 90 minutes in the last six games, so he's looking pretty nailed on at the minute. Now, there's always a question mark over whether Hector Bellerin will come in and take his place, but Bellerin is one of the most injury-prone players in the league. I think he's only managed, you know, four or five games this season. So I don't think we need to worry about Bellerin too much. I think you can probably go for Maitland-Niles and be confident that he will continue to get game time. And, you know, you can always just get rid of him then if Bellerin does come back in. But I think 4.6 million, that's the attraction here. Very cheap option into a team that could be improving defensively under Arteta. You know, he's probably going to play as a wing back as well, so he should be able to get forward and maybe chip in with some attacking returns as well. So we're going to keep a very close eye on Arsenal over the next couple of weeks. Those two in particular, Kolasinac and Maitland-Niles. Last player I've added to the watch list this week, a Watford defender. So I've removed Cabaselli from the watch list because he's suspended after his red card, and I've added his centre back partner, Craig Cathcart, 4.3 million. Now, a lot of people like me are probably a bit fed up of the likes of Rico and Martin Kelly. If you've got a luxury transfer, you know, if you don't have any other issues in your team, you know, I like moving, you know, either of those guys to a Watford defender. Watford have improved under Pearson as well. Cathcart has played 90 minutes in the last 10 Watford games, so he's very nailed on there as well. And again, it's price here, 4.3 million. You stick him on your bench and he can come on and do a job for you. You know, he can't do any worse than Rico coming on and getting minus ones every week. So just an option there. If you're looking for a cheap defender for the bench, I think Cathcart is a good option. Three clean sheets in the last six games for Watford, so they have improved big time there defensively. Moving on now to questions from Twitter. Thanks as always to those who sent them in. I've picked out the most, you know, the hot topics this week. First question from FPL Sponge. Happy New Year to FPL Sponge. He was one of the few of us who ended up in a nightclub till 4 in the morning in Soho a couple of weeks ago. FPL Sponge asks, who is the best third striker? And he lists Mopai, Calvert-Lewin, Danny Ings and Troy Deeney. So four options here. Who is the best option? So this is something I've been looking at myself this week because I've got Trent and I've got Salah, and I really want to get Mane for the double game week 24. In order to do that, I'm going to have to sell Rashford at some point. I don't want to sell him before Norwich, so it won't be this week. So I'm going to buy myself another week to assess these guys, you know, the likes of Mopai and Calvert-Lewin. Those are probably the two I'm looking at because of budget reasons. I probably can't stretch to Danny Ings. It's about time he stretched a little bit too far anyway and did that hamstring of his. It's got to the point now with Danny Ings where I'm just going to have to bring him in at some point just to break him, just so that he either does get a niggle or the goals just dry up, because it's bloody painful not owning him. You know, once he scores 9 points and it just hurts the rank week after week. But like I say, I probably can't get to Danny Ings when I'm getting Mane, so I'm probably going to have to settle for Mopai or Calvert-Lewin. Now, looking at the stats, there's very little between these two over the last couple of weeks. I watched the Liverpool-Everton Cup game at the weekend, and that didn't fill me with confidence, you know, in terms of Everton assets, you know, struggling against the Liverpool youngsters who were excellent in that game. But, you know, looking at the stats last three or four game weeks, you know, Calvert-Lewin, he is posting good numbers in terms of shots in the box and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, at these guys, 5.8 and 5.9 million, Mopai and Calvert-Lewin, I think they're both good options. You know, they're pretty low risk at that price. You're probably looking at, if they got you a goal every two game weeks, you'd probably be pretty happy with that. And both of those guys are capable of doing that. So for me, I think I'm slightly leaning towards Mopai, just because I've seen more of him this season, and I like what I've seen of him, and I think I've still got that bias from seasons gone by that, you know, I never really rated Calvert-Lewin, and I'm trying to shake that because he has been doing well, and you know, Ancelotti seems to be a big fan of him as well. So at least I'm going to give myself another week to look at those two guys in closer detail before I decide which one to go for. If cash was no issue, Danny Ings, I think he is the best option regardless of fixtures. The guy is having the season of his life. I've seen one or two people this week even considering selling them, which I think is madness. If you've got a player who is getting you 8 or 9 points every game week, why on earth would you sell him? You know, He's shown this season he can score against anyone. He's a top-class striker when he is fit. And, you know, I don't have him, so he's going to continue to score. Troy Deeney, I don't have much love for Troy Deeney, mainly because when it comes to the Watford attack, I think this guy, Ismaila Sarr, is the best option there. Just going from what I've seen from highlights over the last couple of weeks, I think, you know, stats-wise, it's good as well. Deeney relies a lot on penalties. You know, I would fancy Sarr to get as many goals from open play as Deeney does over the next few weeks. And obviously Sarr's a midfielder as well, so you get those extra points for clean sheets and goals as well. So yeah, out of those four, Mopai, Calvert-Lewin, I'm leaning towards Mopai, but that could change in a week or two when it comes to my actual decision. If cash was no issue, Danny Ings, I think, is the best of the four. And Deeney, I don't have much love for Troy Deeney. Question from Nelson. Nelson asks, who is the best short-term and long-term Pope replacement? I think I got rid of Pope on my wildcard, and I'm glad I did. You know, Burnley and Pope aren't what they were in previous seasons. You know, we've seen that against Villa last game week, you know, conceding 2 goals at home to a very poor Aston Villa team. It doesn't say much for the Burnley defence. So I think anyone who has Pope, it's time to move away. I think the fixtures get pretty nasty anyway. I'm just getting them up in front of me. Yeah, so Burnley have Chelsea, Leicester, Man United, Arsenal in the next four. So you really don't see any clean sheets there. So it's time to move away. The question is, where do you move to? You know, I'm on Matt Ryan, and I'm pretty happy to stick with him. I think he's still a very good option. If I was making a move this week, I would probably consider Henderson as well. I think, you know, Sheffield United have been excellent defensively this season. Henderson's a nice set and forget for the rest of the season. The common free hit strategy this season is going to be free hit game week 31, which works perfectly for Henderson because that's when he plays Manchester United, and we know he can't play in that fixture. So if you go for Henderson and you're planning to free hit in 31, which is going to be the big blank game week, you don't need to worry about Henderson. You can just get a different goalkeeper for that game week 31, and then you've got Henderson back for game week 32. So I think he's a very good option as well. Fabianski, who I mentioned, if you fancy him for the double game week, and you know, longer than that, you know, he is an option. And Ben Foster, I've thrown him in here as well. You know, I've talked up the Watford defence. Foster has always been a keeper who racks up a lot of saves and does well in the BPS system as well. So that's a couple of options. If I was, I'm trying to think what I would do this week myself if I was doing it. I think I would probably lean towards Henderson. I do think Ryan's a great option as well, but I think if I was moving this week, it probably would be Henderson. Question from Dr. FPL. Who is the best Ali replacement? So this is a question I'm asking myself this week. I'm pretty sure Ali is going to leave my team this week. I'm pretty sick of him. Spurs are bang average under Mourinho. The initial bounce is well and truly over. Harry Kane out. I don't like that for Ali either. And they play Liverpool this week. So I really, you know, Liverpool have, what, 5 clean sheets on the bounce now. Wouldn't surprise me if they keep another one against Spurs. So Dele Alli, I don't want him for the Liverpool fixture, and I don't want him long term either. So I'm looking to move him this week. I think the best option, you know, at a similar price or cheaper, is James Maddison if you don't have him. Maddison is a player I haven't owned at any point this season, and I'm kind of angry with myself for that. He's probably one that I feel has gotten away from me this year. Reminds me a bit of Ryan Fraser last season. I think I owned Ryan Fraser for one game week last year on free hit, and he got me 2 points. So missed out on all of his points last season. I've missed out on Maddison so far this year. But my gut feeling is to get rid of Ali this week and get Maddison. and then just roll my second free transfer. So there's a good chance I'll do that. I like his fixture this weekend against Southampton, and then it's Burnley next and West Ham in game week 24. So nice little run coming up for Leicester. Other options to replace Ali, you know, it's, if you can get to a Liverpool midfielder, Salah or Mane, maybe if you've got two free transfers, I like that as well. Grealish is a good option, even though it's Man City. I'll be starting him in that game, and hopefully he can get something. Richarlison is one to consider. Heung-min Son, who's coming back from suspension, you know, maybe he'll play more advanced now with Harry Kane out. But again, I really find it hard to trust Spurs under Mourinho, especially in attack. You know, he's probably going to park the bus against Liverpool, so you're probably not going to expect too much there. But again, maybe Son will, maybe that'll play in the Son's hands, you know, get something on the counter attack against Liverpool. Sarr, who I mentioned, I like him as well as a bit of a differential. If you want to free up a bit of cash, maybe for those Liverpool midfielders. But yeah, I think Madison is the best option to replace Ali if you don't have him, or else get yourself a Liverpool midfielder somehow. Question from FPL Blinder. Good question here. With a likely double game week in 37, is it better to hold your wildcard until then or use it earlier to make the most of more favourable fixtures over several game weeks? So yeah, there's a lot of talk about, you know, second wildcard, you know, going around this week as well. According to, you know, the king of double game weeks and all that kind of planning, Ben Crellin, game week 37 is going to be the biggest double game week of the season. So that's where we could have maybe 15 or 16 fixtures. You know, lots of players playing twice, so you would hope to get 180 minutes. So, you know, in previous seasons, what I've done and what a lot of people do, they kind of target the biggest double game week for the bench boost. So you would wildcard the week before. So in this case, it would be wildcard game week 36, and then bench boost game week 37, with the idea of getting, you know, 15 players who play twice, and then bench boost in 37. Now the question is that too late to just wait and, you know, maximize your bench boost chip, or, you know, is that the best way to go? Now my initial, I haven't given this too much thought yet, because first of all, I'm just after playing my first wild card, so I'm just hoping to get the rewards of that over the next couple of weeks before I even think about a second wild card. But for me, my gut feeling is waiting until game week 36, 37 to wildcard, to me, it's very late. You know, the wildcard is the most powerful chip you have for the second half of the season. And it does feel a bit mad to leave it until, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. So you've only got 2 or 3 weeks to benefit from it. And it's a bit of an odd season this year as well, because the league is going to be wrapped up by then. So we're probably not going to be able to rely on Liverpool assets in the last couple of weeks of the season. There's always rotation in the last couple of weeks and unpredictable results as well. So as always with a wildcard, it's team dependent. And you've got to do what's right for you. Don't let anyone tell you what's right and what's wrong. Do what's right for your team. If you're in a scenario now where you've got 5 or 6 players that you absolutely hate, you hate your team, if your rank is not good, your mini leagues are getting away from you, don't be afraid to pull the trigger now, next week, the week after. There's no right or wrong time to play the wild card. And I do like the idea of playing it earlier than 36 or 37, just to give yourself whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8 game weeks to benefit from it. But again, team dependent. You know, if my first half of the season went pretty smoothly, you know, I avoided major injury suspensions. My team performed pretty well, so I didn't need my wildcard until the last minute. I could have even, you know, survived without it. And again, I guess that depends on the second half of the season. If my second half of the season runs smoothly again, and I'm happy with my squad, you know, for the most part, for the next, you know, 10, 11, 12 game weeks, I may end up keeping it for, you know, the last couple of games of the season. But again, if things don't go well and I get to a point where I feel it's justified to play it earlier, I will do so. But again, I have absolutely no idea when I'm going to play it. I could play it in 3 weeks' time. I could play it in game week 36. It's impossible to know right now. But I think the main point here is do it when it's right for your team. Only you will know when it feels right. And don't go and follow other strategies just because other managers are doing it. You know, follow your own path. That way you'll have no regrets no matter what happens. And you know, if things don't go well, you can learn from it. One of the things I drew up a list of kind of golden rules at the start of this season to go alongside my, you know, injury prone player list. And one of the things I wrote down on that list was be open to a new approach with the chips. So I've always, you know, followed the, you know, the regular, you know, free hit in a blank game week, you know, triple captain in a double game week, and then, you know, wild card the week before a bench boost in the big double game week. So I'm open to doing something different this year. And I think there's probably a good chance I will wildcard earlier than that game week 36-37 period. Triple captain, just when I mentioned it there, pretty sure I'll use mine in this double game week 24 on a Liverpool midfielder, whether it be Salah or Mane, I don't know yet. Gut feeling is Mane, because I just think he's been fantastic this season. And, you know, every time I watch him, I fear him when he's not in my team. So if I had to make the decision, if the double game week was this weekend, I'd probably on Mane. But again, you know, I've got another two game weeks to assess Salah and Mane and then make a decision on which one I want to triple captain. I like using triple captain in this double game week as well, because what happened to me last season was I ended up having too many chips left at the end of the season, you know, and not enough double game weeks to use them in. So I ended up having to use my triple captain chip in a single game week last year, which was I used it on Mane. I think he got me 39 points. I think he got 13 times 3. It was that game where he got a brace and he hit the post at the end as well. I'm pretty sure Salah actually outscored him in that game, which was kind of frustrating. But yeah, so I think this is a great opportunity. Double game week for Liverpool. The games are 6 days apart. It's before the Champions League kicks back in. I don't think Klopp is going to, you know, let up until the league is mathematically one, and I think he'll be going after records as well. So I fully expect both Salah and Mane to start both of those games. Yes, they're both away games, but Liverpool are, pains me to say it as a Manchester United fan, Liverpool are the best team in the world at the minute. And, you know, a double game week, 6 days apart, this is not one to overthink, I think, for the triple captaincy chip. You stick it on Salah or you stick it on Mane, probably doesn't even matter which one you go for. I don't think you can go wrong. But yeah, 100% for me, triple captain, double game week 24. If you're feeling really crazy, you can give it to Fabianski. Question from Ruslan. Ruslan asks, what do I think about a punt on Mahrez against Aston Villa? So yeah, do you know what? I was listening to FML FPL podcast yesterday, and it was those guys, Walsh and Alon, who got me thinking about Mahrez. Mahrez is not on my watch list, but the way I'm looking at the next couple of game weeks, I'm not in a rush to get Mane. I don't mind waiting until either game week 23 or game week 24 itself to get him in, because he's got Spurs and United next. So I'm really looking at maybe a 1 week or a 2 week punt for Ali. So I've mentioned Madison. He is the most obvious, probably safe pick, but a fun pick would be Mahrez for the next week or two. So he plays Villa this weekend, excellent fixture, and then he plays Crystal Palace if I wanted to keep him for a second game week as well. Now, the kind of manager I am a very, very boring manager, so most likely I won't take this risk. I'll probably go with Madison because I know he'll play 90 minutes, and Mahrez, you always have got that slight doubt over his game time. But he has played 90 minutes in 3 of the last 4 games, and he's got attacking returns in all 3 of those starts. So I'm very interested to see what happens tonight. Manchester United play Man City in the Cup. If Mahrez was maybe to get a rest in that game, I would be maybe more tempted by taking a punt on him against Aston Villa. He's been excellent. You know, I haven't been able to watch too many games the last couple of weeks, being back in Ireland and stuff, but any highlights I've watched, Mahrez has been probably the best player on the pitch in terms of creating chances and having pops of goal himself as well. So it is tempting, and I'm not going to rule it out. I'll see what happens in the cup tonight, but most likely I'll probably go for Madison. But I wouldn't put anybody off, you know, taking that punt on Mahrez short term. Question from Arnesh Mishra. The $1 million question from Arnesh. What is the ideal Liverpool triple up? So quite simply, I think it is Trent, Salah and Mane. But I don't think you can go wrong. You know, I think double defence is fine. If I was going double defence, I would be looking to get Robertson, Trent, and then one of the other two. I don't think it matters too much which of the other two you have. It's always a bit of a lottery which of Salah and Mane are going to be in the points in any given game week. But for me, I think I'm in a situation where I've got Trent and Salah, and I really want Mane back. I think if I was in the opposite scenario, if I had Mane already and I had Trent, I would be, you know, maybe there's more chance I would maybe just go for the defensive double up then, because, you know, Mane worries me more than Salah does. I watched the Sheffield United game last week, Thursday night, as a Salah owner and a Trent owner, and it was an absolute nightmare watching that game, not having Mane. Just the fear of not having him and knowing exactly what's going to happen to your rank, you know, if he scores. And it was horrible when he scored. You know, it was looking good for a while. Salah had his goal. I was like, great, Mane's going to have a blank here. And then, of course, he just pops up and scores. And, you know, Mane has just, he's just fantastic. He's capable of getting a brace or a hat-trick in any given game week. And it's mainly fear. It's mainly fear why I'm going to get him in. You know, I think people will always say in FPL, you know, you shouldn't let fear rule your transfers. But on this occasion, I'm going to let fear rule my transfer, because I think Mane is the best player in the game this year. And it just, to me, it's madness not to have the player I think who is the best player in the game for a double game week. And most likely, I'll triple captain him as well. So Mane's going to come in for me. The argument a lot of people will have about this triple up is, it weakens your team, or, you know, it's a quarter of your budget for two players. And that's something I've said quite a few times, you know, over the last couple of weeks. I've said myself, I don't like the idea of, you know, paying the guts of, what, 25 million on two players. But I think there's just so much, you know, the more I look at it, there's so much value this season. You know, we've got Lundstrom, we've got Soyuncu, you know, none of the big strikers are, you know, banging in goals, the likes of Aubameyang, but, you know, no one really has him anyway. Aguero, Harry Kane's out. You know, Sterling is not the player he was in the last two seasons. So cash is not really a major issue this year, even for someone like me, who my team value is not great. It's probably only about 104 because I make my transfers late. But even for me at 104, I can get to Mane, you know, with a minus four. I could get to him just with free transfers over the next, you know, few weeks as well, but I'm not in a rush to get him in. And the main reason I'm going to take a minus four from him is I don't want to sell Rashford this week before the Norwich game. So I think spending that 25 million on those two guys is fine. You know, they're arguably the two best players in the game on their day. And, you know, it's not forever either. You can always downgrade one of them afterwards, but, you know, Liverpool do have very good fixtures after the double game week, so that's another reason why I don't mind bringing them in, because I'm not bringing them in just for the double game week. I'm most likely going to keep Salah and Mane for a couple of weeks after that as well. So for me, that is the ideal triple up: Mane, Salah and Trent. But again, I wouldn't stress over it too much. We can't say what is the best strategy until game week 24 is over. You know, Mane and Salah could be quiet. Liverpool could churn out two clean sheets and the double defence are laughing. But for me, FPL should be fun. It should be enjoyable. And not having Mane is going to be, would be absolute nightmare for me. I don't want to sit and watch two Liverpool games without him. The other thing about defenders as well is, no matter how good Liverpool have been defensively over the last couple of weeks, five clean sheets I think it is now in a row, any team can score a goal from a corner, a set piece, no matter how well you defend. You know, it would be an absolute nightmare if you have Trent and Robbo. Some people will even triple up in defence, and then, you know, you concede two soft corners in those two games. So for me, it's much more fun just to go with the attackers. And I'm probably going to triple captain Mane as well, which is another reason why I don't mind taking a minus four to get him. That is the questions covered. Quickly touch on captaincy now and transfers. I put a poll on Twitter yesterday with four captaincy options: Vardy, De Bruyne, Rashford, and then I put Mane and Salah as a combined option. Vardy ran away with the poll, 56%, De Bruyne 20%, Rashford 13%, and the Mane Salah option got just 10%, even though both of them were in it. The poll There was about 6,500 votes on that poll, so this gives you a good idea of what people are thinking about for Game Week 22. For me, Vardy, home to Southampton, no-brainer. He will get my armband. Vice-captain for me will be on Rashford this weekend at home to Norwich. I do think De Bruyne is a good option as well, away to Aston Villa, but it is a bit worrying. You know, I didn't watch the City game, but by all accounts, De Bruyne has been playing a little bit deeper in the last two games, so that kind of puts me off him for the captaincy. A couple of other options as well, differentials. I think Jimenez at home to Newcastle is a good option. Depending on how many minutes they get in the Cup tonight, Aguero is an option. Away to Aston Villa, if it looks like he's going to start. Sterling's always an option, even though he hasn't been great this season. My transfers, you know, I've touched on some of these already. I've got two frees, so I'm going to do something. Most likely I'm going to do one free transfer and roll the other. I want Mane. I don't want to sell Rashford yet, so I'm not going to get Mane this week. Ali, most likely out for Madison. And roll the transfer. You know, Ryan to Fabianski is slightly tempting, but as I said, I'm probably just going to stick with Ryan, having looked at those fixtures long term. Then it'll be either game week 23 or 24 when I decide to get Mane. I may do it in 23. Liverpool play Manchester United in that game. That game week, I would expect Liverpool to beat us, so I may flip that. I may flip Rashford for Mane ahead of that fixture. Whoever comes in for me this week will probably go out again. So it's probably a one-week punt on Madison, or else a two-week punt if I wait until game week 24 to get Mane. I've written down here as well, KDB out, ? It's not something I'm thinking about right now, but if De Bruyne blanks in the next two games and he continues to play deep, I think we will see people sell him for a Liverpool midfielder in game week 24. Man City play Sheffield United away in the double game week 24, and then they play Spurs. So if De Bruyne, you know, if De Bruyne puts another two blanks on the board and he plays deep, or if he, you know, starts to get reduced minutes, I think we will see people start thinking about selling him. Surely there's going to come a point this season where Pep is going to turn his focus to Champions League, and the likes of De Bruyne will surely see some, you know, minutes managed there. So I'm not going to do it yet, but I do think there will come a point where we're talking about De Bruyne out again, just like we did just before he had his mega haul against Arsenal. So we need to be careful with this guy. I think that's it covered for Game Week 22. If you enjoyed the podcast and you would like to hear more from me, I'll be doing another podcast on Thursday for my patrons, patreon.com/FPLGeneral. I'll be getting my iTest podcast up and running again, so every time I sit down to watch a game, I will be recording a short podcast afterwards with my thoughts for patrons. Patreon, if you want to try something new for the new year, if you want to try something, you know, different to help you manage your FPL team, check it out. You can sign up now and you won't get charged anything until the 1st of February. If you try it for the next 2 weeks and you don't find it useful, you can simply just cancel and you won't get charged anything. So essentially you get a free trial on Patreon. So now is a good time to try it if you've been thinking about it at all. Extra podcast, extra content. We've got a great Slack forum. There's around 300 FPL managers on our Slack forum now. FPL is discussed 24/7. Even when I'm tucked up in bed, the guys from Australia and the States and everywhere else in between are online. So yeah, check out patreon.com/FPLGeneral. Any questions you have about it, just send me a message or send me an email and I'll be happy to discuss it with you. Good luck in Game Week 22, and I will be back next Tuesday ahead of Game Week 23.